أكبر لا بوين
The topic is mental illness, I believe. The material has a cover sheet that says Kol Chole Haruah. I'm not quite sure what Kol Chole Haruah means. However, I do understand that the topic involves not only mental illness, but really should have had the title either Group or Sotim. And that essentially what we're dealing with is the definition of a category of Satan and the ramifications of that appellation as it applies to any particular individual. Hence, it encompasses not simply mental illness, but also certain forms of mental retardation. However, particularly since the Tzeres says Chole Ruach, I'll begin with mental illness as distinct from mental retardation, and we'll see beyond. The Gemara Chiyuvah Das Gimel on the day, Zeizeu Shreiter, Hayit Yechidi Balaylo, Vahalom de Beit HaKoroi, from the Karea et Tzuter. The Gemara cites the Tzuter in Tumis, the Tzuter cites three examples of a Shreiter. So the Gemara Isma, Rapuna Omar, Atsi Kulon de Batachat. All three of these symptoms or conditions must be present in a single individual for him to be regarded as a Satan. Tradition Omar Afilu Beahasmihem. If the person manifests one of these three aberrations, even if the other two are not present, he is to be characterized as a Satan. Comes the Gemara with a Kasha. Hegidomi. Is the Obidu Derashduth? If the person's actions are clearly irrational, if they are derisive, afilu b'chodenam, then it should be deemed a shaker on the basis of the presence of any one of these conditions or symptoms. He's a loy ofiluhu derisive, if he does these things in a manner which is not irrational, afilu kulu namilu, then even if all three are present, the individual should not be regarded as a shaker. So even before continuing further, it's clear that the Gemara recognizes that simply because a person is a Yeshiva Balaylo and a Longa Beis HaKvoros and is Makareya Tzuchet to the bargain, it doesn't necessarily mean that he's a shaker. If you will pay somebody to perform those acts in Syrian, he clearly is not a lunatic, but a very clever person who's making off with your money. And if you can provide some other rational explanation for why the person engages in these forms of conduct, then it's not their excuse, and afilu kuluhu nami, he is not to be regarded as a shaker. If he does then their excuse, then even one of these three forms of conduct should be sufficient to establish that the person is non-composed mentis. And to the Gemara, lo'oilom, says the Gemara, lo'oilom, dika'ovid luhu derech shtus. The person is doing this in an irrational way. V'halon v'bei sakvoroi eimur k'bei shetishu olov ruach tum hu dika'ovu. There is the possibility that he is doing it k'bei shetishu olov ruach tum. V'hayesei, he must have practiced black magic, and this is the way to do it. V'hayesei yetiti v'alaylo eimur nangripas achdei. The individual was suffering from some kind of physical affliction. Some kind of melancholy which does not rise to the level of truth, or he's got temperature and he wants to cool off a little bit, so he's going a yeshivi balaylo. The matariyat tusay. Aimur bal machshovesu. one can explain the conduct of Makariya Ksusoi by saying that he is a Baal Machshavos and he is not doing this in an aberrational manner. He simply isn't cognizant of what he's doing because he's some kind of ivory tower egghead who doesn't realize what he is doing. That may be irrational, but it is not irrational, and it is not derestuk. Even that nohu kulu, havuluhu kini, shenogah shur, hamur, vidomo, vinas, and muad lachur. If he's doing all three together, then he's tantamount to an ox that gores a shur, hamur, vidomo, and one assumes that the etzim negisa is that of a shur that is prone to this, and that it has become habitual with him. It's not simply a nikra di alma, as is the case with regard to a shur tam. Now, if we take this Gemara along, what we have clearly is an attempt to categorize certain forms of conduct. And the Gemara is telling us that if a person will perform any one of these acts, derisut, in a manner that cannot be explained in any rational manner, then the individual is to be diagnosed as a shaker with all the ramifications of that diagnosis. If, on the other hand, it's not of the derisut, if he can find a rational explanation that is obviously applicable to this individual and will explain to us the nature of his action, and it turns out to be rational, then of course he's not a shaker. Then where is the machlokes? Whether he becomes a shaker in performing one of these acts or in performing all three of these acts is a situation in which we don't know why he is doing it, and there then comes the explanation of aimless. I can attribute the behavior to a cause which is not irrational in nature, albeit it is rather far-fetched. The individual who is along the Beis HaKloris is not usually the type of conduct that is done today Shatusha or Ruach Tumah. It's more usual the Lomba de Sakhloris is a Shreiter, but it is still possible to attribute the action to the desire Shatusha or Ruach Tumah. Or Yetze Yechidu Balaylo, Yetze Yechidu Balaylo is in general of the act of a shaker, but it is entirely possible that Nagrithas Akte is unlikely, but it's possible. So in those cases we have a machloikis, Rezeichen Rehune, whether we attribute it to some type of rational motivation, or whether we go out to the activity as being that of a shaker. If we require that he perform all three, it's simply because we can't be mastic in the shaker on the basis of any one form of conduct of this nature, because there is a possible explanation. However, if he does all three of them, it is highly unlikely that an individual has three rational motivations for three aberrational activities, and therefore the circumstantial evidence becomes so overpowering that one must attribute all of this to the truth, as is the case in a shor shenoga kamor a mishenoga shor kamor vidomo. You cannot assume that this was simply a nikra b'alma. If he does it with three different animals, he must be a shor natson, and we do not assume that these are three incidents that each one is to be viewed as being discrete. Instead, we must regard it as coming from some deep-sighted psychological problem. Then, we have in the Gemara essentially three separate principles which emerge even before analyzing the sugya and dalet amud. The principles in the Gemara are very clear. If you have any type of conduct, if you have any one of these three forms of conduct from which you can eliminate the possibility of a rational explanation, if we will have some other form of determining that he is not doing the Shatisha Ola Ruach Tumah, or we have some other clinical test that can assure us that this is not the case in Nangutas Akhte, or if we know absolutely that this person is not a Baal Machshavos, then the Amor doesn't apply, and it's clear it's Derashus and the Chodanami. With any one of these types of activity, we have proof positive individual to show it. On the other hand, if we know definitely that this person is doing all three forms of activity for a rational purpose, then by definition he is not a shaker. The Machlokes is with regard to some of the milsim. Going to the Milster, when you have a far-fetched explanation, do you apply the far-fetched explanation in order not to be Nazik him as a traitor? Or do you apply this rather far-fetched explanation, say he's not a traitor, unless and until the evidence becomes so overpowering that you can no longer explain it away? And when does it become overpowering? When you have all three of these forms of conduct together.
A far-fetched explanation is far-fetched according to whom?
The Gemara told us what far-fetched was. He gave us examples. Right. You want to know whether you'll have other explanations for this type of conduct? When you'll give me another explanation, then we will have to sit down and analyze whether it is far-fetched or whether it's not far-fetched. For example, Hayeti Yechidi Belaylon, I thought it was elementary, and I have to talk about this. Hayeti Yechidi Belaylon, this man of the Gemara, was the act either of a Shaita or of somebody who won Shetisha Ola Ruach Tuma. In the city of New York, Hayeti Yechidi Belaylon was probably still either the time the guy is crazy, and I don't know if you will even use the explanation Shetisha Ola Ruach Tuma, since nobody's practicing black magic these days, that may be ipso facto proof positive is a Shaita. But I do understand that there are some places in this country where people are not afraid to be Yechidi Belaylon, and indeed it is rather common activity. Whether it is appropriate activity in terms of all the things that Chazal warned us about or not isn't my problem today. Those people don't know anything about shading, or they hold like a piece of Rambam that there are no shading this man, that's a separate explanation. But whether they are right or they are wrong with regard to the problem of Mazikim Belaylo, they clearly do not view this as aberrational activity, and a Yechidi Belaylo under those circumstances is certainly not to be deemed a Shreita, even if with regard to this Machloekes one would say, Afilu Ba'atakdo. So yes, if you will present some other explanation for this conduct which is not recognized in the Gemara and given on the day, by all means, the person isn't a Shreita, as long as you can explain it and explain that the conduct is not Derek Shtus, it is not, he is not a Shreita. That's one of the principles that I think emerges from the Sugya. Yeah.
Well, we think the categories,
that's the next problem. We'll come to it. Okay? Then we have the Gemara on Daf Dalid on the day. Omer Akrofer. Had he heard this new halacha that a ma'abit toma shemaisin loy is a shaita, have a hodabe. If Rav Huna had heard that this is in and of itself a sufficient symptom of a shaita, then he would have been chayzer, because makarei ksusa is tantamount to ma'abit toma shemaisin loy, and that in and of itself is sufficient to establish the individual as a shaita. So the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph gives us a new criterion and says even Rav Huna accepts the criterion of Ma'abit Kol Ma'ashinayitin Loi as being enough in and of itself to establish that the individual is a shaita. Iboilu. Ki abahod adai, min makar. Zuzil abahod adai, didam yeloho. Would he have said, this one is enough, but the other, even none of the other two is sufficient in and of itself? Or you need to abahod adai. The Gemara doesn't know whether we have a complete retraction or only a partial retraction. If we take the sugya of Gimel Amud Beis and the Dalet Amud Aleph and put them together, the Gemara has given us four examples of what constitutes a shreita. Four types of activity that if performed derech shtus either individually or taken all together, these activities are indicative of the fact that the individual is a shreita. The problem, the question that was asked by somebody in the back before is, are these examples simply paradigmatic? Are we given examples of what is aberrational conduct, or, and hence anything else that falls into a similar category, is also indicative of whether or not the person is a shreita? And presumably, according to Rav Kofa before the Teiku, you would have to have three different forms of irrational conduct in order to establish that the individual is a shreita, if any one of those forms could be explained even in a far-fetched manner as being rational, or are we to say that these examples are exhaustive, these are the criteria and the symptoms of a shaita, any other aberrational activity is not to be regarded as symptomatic of shtus? That is the crucial problem with regard to the definition of a shaita. So that if you have somebody in a psychiatric ward of a mental asylum, the man may think he is Napoleon, he may do all kinds of other things, all forms of compulsive behavior, but he's not a yitzhichidi delilah, he doesn't have the chance to live if he wants, he's not a long-distance taklorist, and he is not a metaroya susa, certainly not a ma'abed machinistin loy. It would turn out that that is correct, then the individual isn't a shaita, even though his conduct in every other way is literally off the wall. On the other hand, if these are to be viewed as simply examples or paradigms, then it would turn out that anything that the individual does, certainly if he does, if he acts irrationally in three different and distinct areas of human conduct taken together, that should be sufficient to establish that he's a shaita. In order to deal with that problem, turn to the next item that is in the package of materials, the Rambam in Hilchos Eidos, Halacha Tet, Perek Tet, Halacha Tet. Says the Rambam in Perek Tet, Halacha Tet, Hashayte Posul Le'edus Min HaTeirus, L'ti She'enoi Ben Mitzvah. V'loi Shayte Shum Halach Oren U'mishaber Kelim V'zerek Avonim Bilvad. Note, three examples. Amahalach Oren, Mishaber Kelim, and Zerik Avonim. The Rambam regarded each of those as being irrational. A Halach Oren is acting irrationally. A Mishaber Kelim is acting irrationally. A Zerik Avonim, I presume he means outside of Eretz Yisrael, is acting irrationally. Elo, Kol Mi Shenitra, not, oh, these aren't the only examples of Shtut. Elo, Kol Mi Shenitra for Data, Vinyinse Data Mishubeshet, Tomi, Vidvorim Min Hadvorim, Afapi Shunedaber, Vishayotim Min Tishadvorim, Hareize Posul, Ubichlau Shaitim Yichoshet. The Rambam has given us three examples of shtut. Note, the three examples do not correspond to the three examples of the Gemara, and then proceeds to tell us that his three examples are not absolute, not only, not these, bilvad, elo kol mishenitra fadatei, and nimseh datei mishubeshes tomid, and that tomid he adds, I presume, in order to eliminate the categories between shayt and between kolim. Clearly, an individual who is mishubosh and other things could not be kosher la'edus at such time that he is being mishaper kelim and zerik avonim b'mahalach orim, comes to bezin, and orim throws stones across the room and is busy breaking kelim while he's engaged in hagadah la'edus, even if he does it only in bezin and doesn't do it as soon as he leaves the bezin shtibul. I presume that his edus isn't to be accepted, but the Rambam means to exclude the category of an eating shaitan. He's calling by saying that he does this omid, if he does this in the govam, he has vorim, even though he is in the gather of the shayl king in the shard vorim, he is presumed to be a shaitan. Yes. Yes, that's what I'm saying. The Rambam is excluding temporary insanity. He is giving you a definition of a shaita who is a possible avis under any and all circumstances. I presume that an Eichin Shaitin, an Eichin Cholin, could not be made at such time that he is a shaita. When he is a Cholin, presumably he is kosher. That's a person who had a Rav Rishon Lezion, he's not a shaita anymore. Right. I think that all the Rambam wants to exclude is a person who does it some of the time, but not all of the time. And in effect, what he's saying is that when he doesn't do it, he's kosher later. Even if he might do it again tomorrow. That's the bashat of the Gemara. Eating shaitin, eating kolim. I think that that is what the Rambam wanted to exclude with the word tomu. Okay? Yes?
When is Fadat?
You tell me. What do you mean you forgot?
Well, I don't know. I mean, that's the example you use to respect somebody who does. So.
Yeah.
In terms of
an upsetting. Yeah, but we're afraid that the person will become upset. In this case, I don't think that the Rambam means that the person is simply upset. He says, Nisr Fadatari, and he adds another clause. The Nisr is Dati Mishubesha Tomi. That concept of pure Fadat in terms of the moribund patient is the fear that we have that the excitement or the emotional upset may hasten death. It doesn't necessarily mean that his daf will become mishubish so that he becomes a shoysa. I mean, you're quite right. The term nitra padata is used here in conjunction with the clause v'nitra is daf and mishubesh is tomi, and that's quite a different concept from the nitra padata of the moribund patients and all the rounds of patients that would have in that context. Sorry? I think it means more than chronic. I think it means continual and continuous. You can have a barshati who's suffering from a chronic condition but affects him only every morning between the hours of 9 and 10. It affects him only when somebody waves a red handkerchief in his face or who knows what. But the Rambam is trying to define a person who is to be regarded in a state of mental illness which is continual and continuous in nature. Just take a look again at Halacha Yud. The Rambam carefully placed these in different halachas. Halacha Tes is mental illness clearly, and Halacha Yud says the Rambam, Hapsurim b'yeser, she'ein makirin dvorim she'fershin zezer, they don't recognize the principle of self-contradiction. V'lo yavinu yomi hadova, k'derach she'mevinim shar amor, the pain hamuvuhulam vuholim vanechtozim bedatom umishtadim biyoter hareilu b'chlau hashoytim v'dovazer l'tim hashira hadayim shiyesh shalachavim hadat tiksav. These individuals, the Rambam says, are not in the category of shoytim. The tsoyim biyoter clearly refers to people who are mentally retarded, not people who are suffering from some type of psychiatric malady. What he continues to speak about in the next clause, the nechbozim bedatom, mishtagim b'yeser, I'm not quite certain what the Rambam means. I suspect he's talking about what a psychiatrist would call a neurosis as distinct from a psychosis. Not that those are terms of halacha, but it means that the guy isn't quite normal, but he isn't in the category of the shayta as defined in halacha test. But if he is deficient in terms of his mental capacity, to the extent that he is not making hadvarim bishar amoret, this person's hadvarim ages isn't worth very much, and therefore Bezdin can't accept his testimony. The young lady who was paraded on the stand for the last 2 weeks in a certain criminal prosecution in the state of New York might fit into the Rambam's last clause of Halacha Yud. I'm not offering a clinical evaluation. That would be totally in the Einid Das of the Dayoni. You're clearly not dealing with a person who is a petty beaster in the sense of being mentally retarded. It's not mental retardation by the same token. It's clearly not psychosis, and it doesn't seem to be one of the things that the Rambam talks about in Halacha Tes. It may fall into the category of mevuholim and nechtozim, and hence these people cannot be relied upon to report events and conversations accurately, and therefore their Haggadah Eidos can be relied upon. What is the threshold level for the second half of Halacha Yud? I haven't the vaguest idea, because the Rambam says that these are the things which cannot be mechuvin diksav, and it is something which the Dayanim have to decide on an ad hoc basis, simply by observing the conduct of the individual and trying to determine whether they are competent to testify to the matter which is before the Bezdin. In any event, let's go back to the Rambam in Halacha Tes. The Rambam in Halacha Tes has clearly taken a position with regard to the question that we began with, namely, are the examples of the Gemara in Chagiga, Gimel Amud Beis, and Daled Amud Aleph exhausted, or are they deemed to be paradigmatic only? And the Rambam is clearly saying that they are paradigmatic. In fact, the Rambam purposely, it would seem, or at least for the Beis Yosef and Simin, Kuf Kof Aleph and Ebenezer, says that the Rambam purposefully ignored the simonim of the Gemara and gave us three other simonim, and then proceeded to say that even those aren't exhaustive, because he wants to indicate emphatically that the conduct referred to in the Gemara and the Gigah constitutes merely examples of irrational conduct, but there are other forms of irrational conduct which are equally valid in establishing that the individual in question is a traitor. And if there is some evidence supporting that position, it's the fact that the Gemara in Dalet Amud Aleph didn't regard Ma'abed Mashmosin Loi as in any way contradicting the statements made in Gimel, in the successive cited on Gimel on the day. The Gemara didn't assume that the halacha of Ma'abed Mashmosin Loi was excluding all the other symptoms. Otherwise, the Gemara should have not simply asked a kasha on Arkuna, but the Gemara should have posited a machlokes between his successor and that halacha which says Ma'abed Mashmosin Loi. If the examples that are given are exhaustive in nature, then we have a conflict. We have two different sources, two different sets of criteria. One gives us three criteria, the other gives us only a criterion of one. There are no others. The Gemara didn't do that, because the Gemara assumes that there is no contradiction, even those of Gimel on the day, the successor Kunis are only examples and paradigms, and only question was whether it is a single form of this type of irrational conduct which establishes the individual as a traitor, or whether you need three separate forms. So the basic position is that the examples of the Gemara and Kegigah are examples and nothing more, and if we have any three types of conduct that is irrational and can be explained at best only in a far-fetched manner, the individual is to be regarded as a shaytah. And then hu hadin and hu hatam, if we have any single form of irrational activity which cannot be explained even in a far-fetched manner, a shaytah lidover echod would then be regarded as a shaytah according to the Shita of Rambam, or at least so it would seem, even though the Rambam has not clearly spelled that out for us. There was a hand up. Yes. Yes. It's chayav in it. No question whatsoever. I will come to that in a moment. Let me just conclude the point I was making before. If anything, the Rambam is telling us clearly that you don't need three forms of irrational behavior. Any one of them is enough, even though he gives us three examples, but he immediately follows with the words, Elo kol mishad nitifadatai, v'nimtzei dati mishabeshes tol midbidovar min hadvarim. He doesn't say, v'shleishes varim min hadvarim. Apparently, if you have any single form which cannot be explained in any way, some of the things that the Rambam gives us might be explained rationally. And the Shabra Kalim is not terribly different from Kriya Kriya, and maybe he's a Baal Machshavos. No, Baal Machshavos may destroy Kalim, you know, particularly if he's doing it in a manner that doesn't seem terribly threatening. He looks as if he's deeply engrossed in thought and doesn't realize that he's banging on the tape recorder or what have you, or no, he's banging to bang on the tape recorder. One could explain it, you know, he was busy and he was engrossed in whatever it is he was predicting about and didn't realize that he was banging the tape recorder. So you need more than one to establish that, because that could be explained in a rational way. But if it's Nidra Fadata and Tizat is Mishadesh is Tony, Vizova Min Hadvorin, there's no way to explain it rationally, that would appear to be a Shaitu Dover Echod, which according to the Rambam is to be defined as a Shaitu. Now, there are a number of other examples that are much more prevalent than the ones that the Rambam gives, and those are typical examples for our purposes, and we'll have to deal with them. For example, I don't remember what's in this passage. Is there a Yidra Shemeshu here that talks about the personal thought that he was Mashiach? Yeah. The Yidra Shemeshu describes an individual who thought that he was Mashiach, not an individual whom the Hasidim thought was Mashiach, but a person who himself thought that he was Mashiach, and he proceeded to commit other acts of shtut. He then was a Pelech Orum in addition to other things, and the question was, is this person competent? That was, you know, Rav Moshe's particular example of a person with regard to whom it's necessary to adjudicate whether or not he's a chosen. I'll give you what I think is even a better example. I can't give it to you in a diksav or in a shuva because there was no shuva written with regard to this. But it was a case in Eretz Yisrael not too long ago about an individual who was perfectly normal with regard to his conduct, except in one area of conduct. He refused to sit and eat at a table with knife and fork. When mealtime came around, he sat on the ground and told everybody that he was a chicken, and chickens pecked their food on the ground. Now the individual seemed to think he was a chicken, but the only chicken-like behavior that he demonstrated was in his mode of eating. And is this individual competent to execute a get, for example? Is he competent for other areas of halacha? This is the person who is a mishugeh ledavar echad. According to the Shita of the Rambam, it would seem to me that this individual, forget the remotion of the Mashiach case, we'll talk about that later, the chicken case, this individual seems to me to be daten mishubeshes tomi v'dova min advarim, one particular aspect of conduct which seems to be irrational, no possible rational manner of explaining it, and according to Shita of the Rambam, this individual should be diagnosed as a shaker for all purposes of halacha. There are Rishonim who disagree with the Rambam. The Beit Yosef, both in Ebenezer Siman Kuf Yutet and Siman Kuf Chaf Aleph, cite three Rishonim. One, Rabbeinu Sholem Shimshin ben Avron. The second is Rabbeinu Simson Shapiro, and the third is a Tshuva in the Ma'arik, which is published, who maintain that the symptoms given in the Gemara are exhaustive. An individual who does not manifest the symptoms of the Gemara is not to be regarded as a shaker. However, the Mechaber in Rambam. The Beit Yosef was explaining the Shita to Rambam, and here is quoting three other Rishonim. However, the Shulchan Aruch, which was authored by the same Beit Yosef, in the Chesh Mishnah, Siman Lamed Hay is Matik Loshon HaRambam. And elsewhere, the Darkei Moshe also cites Loshon HaRambam. So for purposes of Halacha, it seems to be that the Rambam is the normative position in Halacha. Now, having said that, we've defined the Shoyter. But the question then is, having defined the Shoyter, in what universe of discourse are we operating? For what purposes have we defined this individual as a shaker? Clearly, if you want to advise this person to get psychiatric treatment, whether you classify him as a shaker or not is not very relevant. A person who is suffering from some type of mental aberration which is not right to level of shuk is nevertheless ill and should be advised to see somebody who can help him. Then for what purposes are we defining a shaker? If you go back to the Gemara and Kegigi Gimel on the day, Rashi tells us, Ezehu Shaita Ha'omur Bechol Mokin Shepotah Min HaMitzvah U'min Ha'enish Vein Kinyoni Kinyin Vein Nimkoroi Nemkar. Rashi gives us at least four Nafkiminis LaHalacha. A is Potah Min HaMitzvah, B is Potah Min Ha'enish, those are two sides of the same coin. Ein Kinyoni Kinyin Vein Nimkoroi Nemkar, also two sides of another coin. But Rashi, in effect, is telling us that this is a shaker for all the purposes of halacha. What other areas of halacha are left? What else are we concerned about if we're not concerned about tea of mitzvah and einshin, kinyonim, and I suppose agitin as a subcategory of kinyonim? If ein kinyoni kinyon, then ein gita get. So Rashi is telling us that the Gemara in Chagigah is defining a shaker for any and all purposes of halacha. If you define a shreita, you now have a definition of shreita which is operative in any area that Chazal were concerned about a definition of shreita. The Rambam, on the other hand, records this halacha in Hilchos Eidus and records it primarily with regard to Psulei Eidus, and begins by telling us a shaita is tosu edus min hatayre, and then proceeds to tell us who and what a shaita is who is tosu edus. However, in the process, the Rambam also tells us that the shaiter is potter from mitzvahs. He doesn't talk about kinyanim. He doesn't tell us whether kinyan is a kinyan or whether his get is a get. He tells us that a shaiter is also potter in a mitzvah. Incidentally, to the best of my knowledge and information, this is the only place that the Rambam records the halacha that a shaiter is potter min hamitzvah. The halacha is significant in and of itself, but it is very problematic in terms of the context in which the Rambam has recorded it. Indeed, the rationale, or the nesinat tam, the phrase she'enoi ben mitzvah, seems to be redundant and irrelevant in halacha text. He tells us that a shaiter is possible eidus because he is not mechuyev in mitzvahs. In light of what the Rambam says in halacha yud with regard to psoyin b'yetzer, etc., one can only ask what is the point of including this rationale in halacha tes. A shaiter is no more competent, or it would seem that a shaiter is no more competent than a petzi b'yetzer who is mechuyev in mitzvahs. And if a petzi is excluded from the category of those who are sharing lohid, then a fortiori, the shaiter who does all of these irrational things should certainly be excluded from the category of those who are sharing lohid. That's a problem with regard to the analysis of the Rambam. Yes?
That's the
point. Absolutely. Correct. There is no other explanation of the Rambam. The Rambam had found it necessary to put this in halacha test, only because in halacha test the Rambam is telling us that a meshugil is over effort is postulated. A meshugil is over effort is perfectly rational when he walks into Bezdin. He may think he's a chicken at mealtime, but in between he's perfectly rational, and we're not exactly engaged in eating a banquet in Bezdin. So what difference does it make that he eats like a chicken? Why shouldn't his edus be acceptable? In which case, the Rambam is telling you that he is thoughtful not because he's irrational. He's perfectly rational. The shaiter of halacha tes is not an irrational person for purposes of hilchos edus. His potter, he's excluded, he's potter from edus, not because he's irrational, but because he's potter min hamitzvah. And the potter min hamitzvah is what makes him potter edus. The question is, why then is he potter edus? Simply because he's potter from mitzvah. And here we have a number of different and somewhat divergent analyses of the Shitas Rambam. The Idrus Meisha, in explaining the Rambam, says that the Rambam, in fact, there isn't a problem here with the Rambam. The Shitas both latest material of Ishaim with the mitzvah. And if he's old Mishuga was over effort, why should he be potter min hamitzvah? And the Idrus Meisha says that a shaiter is potter from any and all mitzvahs according to the Rambam, because at such time that he is a shaiter, he can't perform the mitzvah, and if he's potter from any mitzvah, he's potter from all mitzvahs, because there's no chiyuv mitzvahs lechetzayim. By which he means, certainly, not that every individual can cleave in all tayyag mitzvahs. Noshim are certainly potter from some mitzvahs, since the fish has man gromer, and then cleave in all other mitzvahs. And a zar is potter from mitzvahs kahunim. But what he means is that a person in a category who's cleave in the mitzvahs of a category, if he is excluded for whatever reason from any one mitzvah, is excluded from all mitzvahs. And since the shaiter cannot be held to kiyum hamitzvahs with regard to those actions and areas of human conduct in which he is not rational, he is then potter. And the person who is potter from mitzvah is excluded from edus. Yes.
This person might not be affected at all.
Well, I think Rav Moshe would say that at such time as Mishaber Kalim, he can't very well be Makai mitzvahs that require the kalim not to be broken. Now, these Meshaber kalim, he's got to put on film, and he takes them and throws them on the ground and breaks them, so how can he say not to be the kind of mitzvah film? After, you know, when he's Meshaber kalim. So this Meshaber kalim is taught us from film, for example, or Esther. It's Meshaber the Esther. It may well be that if the shlusa sutta doesn't conceivably affect the kiyum of any mitzvah, he's not kosher from any mitzvah, hence he's not kosher from all mitzvahs, and hence he's even kosher later.
Yeah, but no, it should be.
What? Sorry? Louder. No, that's not true. Not what he described. And that's not even Bechlav Rosh and Harambam, because Rambam says that's a Mishubeshes Tomid Bidvorim in Hadvorim. And if it's Mishubeshes Tomid with regard to any one of these things, then there are some mitzvahs that he can't be Makayim. If he's always breaking Kalim, he can't be Makayim the mitzvah of Adonim. He's destroying them as he's being Makayim the mitzvah. So that he's Potter from all the mitzvahs. But if you'll give me something else that doesn't affect Kiyum HaMitzvah, I mean, for example, some forms of compulsive behavior. He washes his hands constantly, but it doesn't interfere with Kiyum HaMitzvah. According to Reb Moshe, he's not Yeshuvah Dover Echot, he's not talking from any one mitzvah, he's not talking from any mitzvah. And of course, his analysis of the Rambam. That's by no means the only analysis of this Rambam. The Neide the Yehuda, in a tshuva that was originally written with regard to the get of Kli, which I don't want to talk about in any great detail, but that what it involved I'm not even certain, because that was part of the Machloikis. Part of the Machloikis seems to have been empirical, factual. What is it that this person was doing? Was it rational or was it totally irrational? Could it be explained in a rational manner or could it not be explained in a rational manner? But at worst, as far as definition of choice is concerned, this individual was only engaging in some forms of apparent activity, and in other areas he was totally rational. Proceeds to now analyze the tour of Shaita with regard to Kiyum HaMitzvah, and carefully distinguishes Shaita from an Onus. If a person is an onus in the Kiyum HaMitzvah, but nevertheless goes in his Mekayim HaMitzvah, somebody, for example, holds a gun to his head and says, if you go and eat Kezayis Matzah Leil Pesach, I'll shoot, and the person acting not in accordance with Halacha proceeds to eat the Kezayis Matzah, whether or not he's shot, he has a Kiyum HaMitzvah of Achilus Matzah. Of course, if he's shot, it doesn't make terribly much difference. But let's assume that he wasn't shot, and now he comes to ask the Shaila, do I have to eat another Kezayis Matzah? The answer is clearly no. You shouldn't have done what you did, but having done it, kind of at the end, you were Mekayim HaMitzvah, you don't have to do it over again. However, the Rambam Milosom of the Matzah says that you're somebody who is a Chayla Machlas HaNichtin, he's suffering from epilepsy and an epileptic seizure, he proceeded to eat Matzah, and then he is Misrata, he wasn't Yetzer, the feeling of Matzah, and he now has to go eat another Kezayis Matzah, because what he ate when he was a Shaita doesn't constitute a Kiyum HaMitzvah. Shtus isn't a form of Einus Rachmona Patre. Shtus is an exclusion from the Kiyum of a Mitzvah. Proceeds the Neide de Yehuda to say that if a person is Potter from even a single Mitzvah, then he is not Bichlal Achicho, he is not Achicho B'Mitzvah, and the Potter of Shecher Ino Ba'Ochiv refers to Achicho B'Mitzvah. If he is not Achicho B'Mitzvah, then he is excluded from the Parsha of Eidus. According to Neide de Yehuda, this Shecher L'Dover Echod may be excluded from a mitzvah or from some mitzvahs, but he is mechuyev in all mitzvahs that he is not prevented from fulfilling because of the fact that he is a shaytan. And the Rambam then in Halacha Tes is giving you a gather with regard to Ilchus Eidus. If somebody is kosher from even a single mitzvah, he's not in the parasha of Eidus and hence has to be excluded. But it doesn't mean that, you know, exactly the opposite of what Rav Moshe says. Rav Moshe says there's no chiyuv mitzvahs l'chatzoyim. The Neide de Yehuda says there is a chiyuv mitzvahs l'chatzoyim. You can be kosher from one mitzvah and still be mechuyev in other mitzvahs. Yes.
Where does Rav Moshe get the principle that
I don't know. From this Rambam. L'fisha ein a ben mitzvah. He takes it literally. He says he's kosher. He's kosher from all mitzvahs. If you read the Rambam literally, that's what the Rambam is saying. I don't think the Rambam has to be read literally. So the Rambam should think so, and I don't know if there's anything real independent evidence demonstrating that position. The Chassam in Kerotation of Ezer, Simon Dalid, offers a similar but somewhat different analysis of the Rambam and says that a Shaita is kosher from, I'm sorry, a Shaita is kosherated because his aid is Shiatiyoko La'azimon. If he does anything derashtut, then he will always be able to turn around and say that he was a shaker at the time that he was made, and hence cannot be held responsible for what he said or did, and therefore he can't, his evidence can't be accepted because it's Eidu Shiatiyoko La'azimon. And how this fits into the law, around them, I don't want to go into any detail right now. But Ebenezer Chelitay Simin Dalit. Now, there is one other source that is relevant to this, and that is Faithless on Daf Gimel on the day. The Gemara says there are shkut afilu b'chad nami. If there is no way to explain behavior, then even one form of irrational conduct is sufficient to establish the person as a straighter. The place is a chitainer. Zloya yimud l'shkut rakloy segova or bein zlosu l'arvi tiki shkut l'kol mili. Maybe we require three because the shkut is over effort. It's not yet a shkut. A shkut is over effort. It's a shkut only if it's a shkut. At that point, it becomes like a sure nashkon. How does the Gemara know that any one of these, even these three, is sufficient? Maybe you need all three to establish that he is a shaker. And to shafesis, kivin duhu shaker ba'achat, vada yesh lahat zikai, becheskat shaker l'chol dover. If he's a shaker, dover achat, it's yesh lahat zikai, shaker l'chol dover. The problem basically is, what does this word yesh lahat zikai mean? Is this a presumption of halacha which is rebuttable, like every chazaka? It's a presumption so you know that it doesn't pertain in a given situation? Or is this an irrebuttable presumption of halacha? What does Tesis mean with the word yesh lahachzika? Is that a principle of halacha, or is that simply a presumption of fact? The Shmuel Shor in Hilchos Shita says that what Tesis is saying when he talks about chazaka is the establishment of an irrebuttable presumption. In effect, his analysis of Tesis has Tesis saying that shtus is like pregnancy. You can't be a little bit pregnant, and you can't be a little bit of a shaker. If you do even one thing there of shtus, then everything that you do, even if it seems to be rational, is a manifestation of shtus. A person who is rational is even irrational when he is solving binomial equations. His solution is a perfectly rational solution, but it's the rational solution of an irrational man. And whatever he is doing is the act of a shaker. According to Rashur, saying that shtus is all pervasive. And a sure person with a shaker lived over effort is by definition a shaker for anything and everything. Rav Moshe understands the thesis differently. He tells us the thesis is establishing only a presumption. And it's a presumption that can be refuted. The Gemara is telling us that he does derashtus afilu b'chad nami, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he is going to be a shaker with regard to all other things. He may be a shaker only l'dover echod, and not a shaker for other things. Then the question becomes an analysis of the Shita Tosafos. According to Rav Moshe, he may be presumed to be a shaker for all other things until we know differently, but does this mean then that he is proper mikol hamitzvah just because he's a shaker l'dover echod? We don't know, says Rav Moshe, that Tosafos agrees with the Shita of Rambam. The Rambam is the one who says that a person who is proper from one mitzvah is proper from all mitzvahs. Tosafos may not agree. He may be presumed to be a shaker, but if he can perform other mitzvahs, even though he is presumed to be a shaker, he may be chayiv in other mitzvahs. Nor do we know, insofar as this basis is concerned, do we know whether these three examples are daske, as the Marik and the other Rishonim of Beis Yosef maintain, or are these examples lav daske, Again, we have the Shita Sefesis, which is not absolutely clear. It may be the case that Sefesis disagrees with the Rambam, and for Moshe this is what's crucial. It may be the case that Sefesis disagrees with the Rambam, even though Yesh Lahavzika Sheikha L'Choldover, it doesn't mean that he is a Sheikha L'Choldover, it's just Yesh Lahavzika Sheikha L'Choldover, but if it turns out that he can be Mechayim of the Mitzvot, he's Mechuyiv of the Mitzvot, and hence he disagrees with the Shita of the Rambam. Now, all of that is, you know, theoretical. How do you define a shayta? Lagabi, what do we have this definition of shayta? For what purposes have we defined shayta? I suppose the really crucial question, certainly insofar as the practice of psychiatry and psychology are concerned, how do you react vis-a-vis the shayta? The first question then is whether a shayta is mechuyev and mitzvah, and are you under any obligation to encourage a shayta to be mechayim those mitzvahs which he is capable of being mechayim. According to everybody except for Meish's interpretation of the Rambam, a shayta is mechuyev whatever mitzvahs his mental condition don't preclude him from fulfilling. A shayta who is rational in some areas of human activity would then be encouraged to be mechayim mitzvahs to the extent possible, and even according to Meish's analysis of the Rambam, the door is still left open. Tosfos may disagree, and according to Shita HaTosfos, he may be mechuyev in those mitzvahs with regard to which he is to be regarded as competent. I'm not sure that we thought so much around that. That's, you know, most of his point. His point is that Tosfos may very well disagree with the Rambam, and this Rambam may be about the Yochid, which I would add, and Rav Moshe is about the Yochid in his analysis of the Rambam. And I think Halacha L'maisa, the bottom line would be that you would encourage the Shayta to be Mekayim those mitzvahs which he can fulfill in a rational way. Now, certainly not if he's performing the mitzvah in a way that is clearly, quote, crazy, close quote. But if his conduct is rational, at least insofar as the mitzvah is concerned, and insofar as the time that he's being the kind of mitzvah is concerned, it would seem to me the halacha l'maisa, he should be encouraged to fulfill those mitzvahs which he is competent to fulfill. But probably more significant from the therapist's viewpoint is the question of whether he can encourage or even prescribe certain activities that involve what in a normal person would be an aveira. Is he allowed to encourage the shayta to do something which is otherwise awkward? And there, and I presume that he's doing this because he intends to effect the cure. The purpose of encouraging the shayta to do all of this is to find a cure for the shtus. And I won't try to give you examples, but I'll ask the psychiatrist to give you an example of certain conduct that he thinks may cure the pain of shtus. And the Chazal had examples. Their example was feeding macholus asurus to an epileptic. They regarded epilepsy as a form of mental illness, and the therapy that they had for it was some form of macholus asurus, and whether it was efficacious even then or not is my concern. It's the principle that applies. I don't know of any prescription of macholus asurus that will cure any form of psychosis, but there are clearly other forms of conduct that are otherwise proscribed that psychiatrists would like to recommend to their patients as a means of curing them of psychosis. Yes.
Is it relevant whether the reason that you are to see the
Avera
is for
infection
or not?
Yes, as we'll see in a moment. Okay?
I thought
for one very unique reason. If he's taught there from Kol Mitzvah Amura is Peteir, as Rav Moshe thinks the Rambam says, then there's nothing to prevent this person from doing whatever he wants. The only question is with regard to Baal Tachilum, because the same Baal Tachilum will apply to a person, applies to a Shayta too. Can I be mindful of him, the Velus and Shaytas be a dying? Simply allowing him to do whatever he wants doesn't fall into the category of Baal Tachilum, and I suppose that in most forms of therapy you're not really involved in Baal Tachilum, but there are some forms of therapy in which you may be involved in Baal Tachilum. So basically the question is... Dr. Merritt?
Performing Yeah, giving them for, you know, mahor for food. Yes, that's not what they do these days in practicing psychotherapy. You don't actually hand them a piece of zohar asher and say, eat it, it'll cure you. You tell them to go out and do things, and telling him may not be a form of al-tahilum at all. Yeah.
Well, Raji says he's putting them in the mitzvahs and putting them in the onesh. Maybe he's still on the tool, but he's just putting them in the onesh. So he's still on the tool. He's doing the veilus.
A kot meichel neveilus, that is not in Sugala HaPrisha. You will have a sheikh, a lechol dovra, who goes around eating the neveilus. You're under no obligation to stop him. Bal tachilum is different from being masters.
What constitutes bal tachilum? How come he doesn't say
min ha mitzvot u'min ha einish? Those are two separate things. He's taught it from mitzvot, and there will be no einish for a beirut. It's in effect saying he's taught it from mitzvot hatzei and taught it from lois hatzei. That's all Rashi's saying there. Let me go back to the bal tachilum problem. There is a chuvah of some pleasure in if.
What's the star that bothers me
to the and Shreita are generally lumped together for all of these purposes, and if you want a specific source, I can give you a source that extends Baal Tachilum explicitly to a Shreita. I'm almost certain that you'll find it in the Shulchan of Sam Fraser, which one says the Gimel Narakayim, but I'm not almost sure, I am sure. The Sam Fraser says so, but I'll give you better source than the Sam Fraser too if you want. The Shulchan of Sam Fraser in Arachayim Te Gimel involved an individual who was being sent to some school, and the school would have fed him macholos hapur. It was not a Jewish institution, and hence kosher food was not available. And you're dealing with this person who's suffering from some type of mental condition, and the shaila was, are you allowed to send him to this institution? Now, the Sanhedrin makes a number of significant points in that shiva. The first point it makes is that committing him to the institution or enrolling him in the school is not a form of Baal Tachilum because you are not being mindful in the various places to be a Darim. It is the people in the school that are doing it, presumably they were going, who aren't Metruva on Baal Tachilum. So they're there, the Chamsetzer is simply being Magdir, the various categories of Baal Tachilum. The Chamsetzer makes two other points that are significant. One, he says that it, even if this would involve being mindful, mazalus, and traces of yadayim, it would be mutter for purposes of effecting a cure. It would be mutter for purposes of being mechanic this patient in mitzvah. And the raya that he brings is from a tesis in Stokim Daf Pesach on the Dalai. There's a sugya in Stokim on the Yadayim on the day. The Gemara talks about a kotan who has more than one apotropis, and each one of the apotropsim was mamaning him on the apotropis's kotan pesach. The net result is this kotan is not unmoning on any kotan pesach. And the Gemara says, nevertheless, you're allowed to feed him the meat of any, either one of these karbonim. And Tosfos then proceeds to ask the kasha. But the Apotropos is now being Makayim and Mitzvah of Chinuch. He's giving the Korban a piece of Korban Pesach to be Makanachim and the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach. The Makanachim and the Mitzvah of Korban Pesach, Litzvah Chinuch, there is no Easter of Baal Tachilum. And Tosfos is saying is certainly a Kiddush. And Tosfos is saying that when there is a Kiyum of Chinuch, there is no Easter of Baal Tachilum. And the Chamsetzer is extending the principle and basis to the situation involved in the case of this person being sent to the school, where he is going to be fed, Mapo is Asuri, and the purpose of all of this is to train him, to cure him, or whatever, so that later he'll be able to be Makari Mitzvah, and this is tantamount to a Kiyum of Kimmel, therefore you can give him Mapo is Asuri in order to be Makari Mitzvah of Kimmel. Yes, you're going to tell me it's not a good analysis. You're right. Yes?
So is it cure him, or did it happen to people?
What?
Is it the food that cures him, or does it happen to feed him?
No, the food isn't going to cure him. It's whatever they're going to do with him in this institution is going to cure him. Only one of the conditions of the cure is that he's going to have to eat Makolos of food. There's no other way to make the therapy available to him. Before we come to the Stam Sefer's analysis of Tosfos and his application, there's a second point which is established in the Stam Sefer. And that is that the Stam Sefer says that while it's mutter in halacha, nevertheless, mutter shiye shekha kol yomov and nasi erosha afilu shu'achat lifnei hamokain, he advises against allowing the child to attend the school and eating makolos asuris, because makolos asuris are mitamtim halev. Tintim halev, the Stam Sefer says, will have a deleterious effect upon his yirah shamayim, and the result is that later, when he is discharged from the institution as cured, he will be cured but left with a lev mitum tom, and the result is he's going to do aveiros. So better he should be a Rosh, he should be a Sheita called Yomov, not be cured of Yishvud, and not later do Aveir. What the Stam Sefer in effect is telling you is if you're going to cure him, but he's going to be in a violin after he's cured, better that he should not be cured and he should remain a Sheita called Yomov rather than a Rosh Shoaha. In some halay. Now, I have problems with both principles that the Stam Sefer establishes. Both his analysis and application of Tosfos, as well as what he says in regard to Tzimtzum Halei, and what implications that has in terms of therapy involving Macholos Asuris, or therapy involving some other kind of Aveiros. First of all, the Minchas Chinuch certainly disagrees with the Stam Sefer. The Minchas Chinuch says that we're dealing with something which is the Tosfos itself is very problematic, to say the least. Now, what kind of chinuch is this for a kohen if you're being mechanachim to a mitzvah, but at the same time you're mechanachim to aveiros? You're being mechanachim to eat shalei l'menuyo. That's an aveiros. That's how you want to be mechanachim to a kohen. You're teaching him that you eat a korban pesach shalei l'menuyo. Eating a korban pesach shalei l'menuyo is an aveiros. Says the Minchas Chinuch that this is a very peculiar kind of an aveiros. It's an aveiros that only the kohen is going to be able. The Gadol, in the same circumstances, would not be over any aveiros, because for the Gadol wouldn't have found himself in this situation. It's only the kohen who has two upper troops in who becomes a moni on two kohen pesach. A Gadol would be a moni on one kohen pesach and only on one kohen pesach, and therefore a Baal Tachilum is mutter only in a situation in which, had this person been a Gadol, it would have been a mitzvah. Since had he been a Gadol, it would have been a mitzvah, not an aveiros, therefore the Baal Tachilum doesn't bother us. Because as a Gadol, it wouldn't be Macholos Asuris, it would be something which is mutter. But being Michael, a Kotten, something which is offered even to a Gadol under those circumstances, would be offered even for purposes of penal. I suppose the example would be an Esther of the Tzuri Hanor. Forget about the problem, Mrs. Lab Lahonis Mitzvah. It would be assumed that you couldn't use, if you didn't have a principle of Mrs. Lab Lahonis Mitzvah, that you couldn't give a Kotten Esther of the Tzuri Hanor, because it would be offered to him as a global tool. And even according to Tosfos, you can't be able to Baal Tachilum in order to be Machanah the Kotten. So that according to the Minchas Chinuch analysis of Tosfos, the application in this mental illness case is certainly not a valid application. Now, Macholos Asuris are going to be offered to the Gadol. And hence there would be Baal Tachilug if you have to be mindful, be a daim in the mental institution, and hence it would be osur to the shaita, because the issue of Baal Tachilug would remain. Now remember, it's hypothetical. The Samsefer has already said that committing him to the mental institution isn't the problem, but it's easy to change the hypothetical. What if you are employed as a nurse in this mental institution and you have to feed the patient? Are you allowed to feed the shaita, because this in the mental institution, because this is the only institution available and this is the only food available, and if he's not here, he's not going to be cured? But that seems to me to be squarely within the ambit of this difference, this machlokes, between the mitzvotimu and the samsefer. Then there's a third analysis of this, and that's the ritual tetebroker in Yes.
The Mishnah said that the Chassidim situation, the situation only here that they are not the Zadok, and he said that the Zadok can't have the situation, right? But the Zadok can't have the situation where he's not running away out of our paycheck. I mean, just technically, if the Zadok can't have the situation throughout the government, I don't think that's any different. I mean, once the Mishnah said that, I mean, I don't know if you can say this is a separate case, because it's not really a separate case,
Maybe not. I don't want to dwell too much on the intestinal, but the intestinal really meant to say was that, you know, the Kohen isn't aware of the fact he's a Moni and two Kohen Pesach, and he knows the halachic that was teaching him, he was in Mechanikin, and the Kohen wouldn't have allowed himself to be in the Kohen worry a double, wouldn't have allowed himself to be a Moni on two Kohenes, and there was not a problem. That's apparently what the Mishnah means. But take a look at the Mishnah inside, it's a little bit more complicated than I made it. In effect, what the Mishnah is saying is that faith is limited to the Apotrupus, the Korban Pesach. Forget about using this basis to establish any principle of halacha that would be able to apply anyplace else. It becomes a principle that applies only to Korban Pesach on the Balas and nowhere else. Whereas for the Stump Safer, it's a principle that can be applied in a whole variety of situations. Rabbi Kopetzenberger in the pre-Yitzchok analyzes or distinguishes faces in an entirely different way. He takes faces literally and says that faces is establishing the Baal Tachilum when you're Mekayim and Mitzvah of Chinuch, but he makes the point I was expecting you to make, namely that faces says there's no Yitzchok Baal Tachilum if you are being the kind of mitzvah of chinuch. But Thesis is dealing with a case in which the kiyum of chinuch is simultaneous with the aveira. It's like esedei halosah, which is only the iznei. But not the iznei, it's osur. If you have to be over the loisah as an antecedent act, as a preparatory act for the kiyum hamitzvah, which comes later, if it's not the iznei, it's not permissible. All the Thesis has told us is that Baal Tachilum is mutter if there is a simultaneous kiyum of chinuch. There is Baal Tachilum, you're giving him Korban Pesach, he shouldn't be eating, but at the same time there's a kiyum of chinuch. It comes at one and the same time. Those are two simultaneous events. However, in the Samsefer's case, in the case of Samsefer talking about, the person isn't being the kind of the mitzvah of chinuch when he's eating macholas asuras. The chinuch, you're preparing him so that later he will be able to fulfill a mitzvah when he gets out of the institution. There isn't any particular mitzvah of chinuch involved in eating the macholas asuras. It's a kind of hechsher that is mechanic this person who's suffering from some kind of mental condition, so that later at some future point he will be able to be Mekai Mitzvah, but there is no kiyum here and now at the time that he's eating Macholas Asur. Yes.
For all these things, there's no equating
curation
of that kiyum. I'm sorry? Well, for the previous question, the Mekai and the
Mekai,
for all
three,
are they equating
kiyum
and...
No, the only one who's talking about this is the Samsefer. And the Samsefer is telling us that curing shoot is a form of chinuch for kiyum hamitzvah.
Oh, it is.
That is a Samsefer clearly made that equivalent by citing the basis and applying it. He's saying that curing shoot is a form of chinuch for kiyum hamitzvah.
No, but in other words, you didn't take the previous documentation. Presumably, if the
knock-off
or whatever there was the cure, that would be okay.
If that would be the cure, no. Are you going for the previous quote?
Yeah.
No. But for you, you have to have some kiyum in the act of eating the macholas asur. like here, you have a quium pro tempore. Now, kinos in general is a quium amicus. Now, again, now, kinos isn't just training. Kinos, by definition, of course, this is a plea, I assume, that even is limited to carbon background. Ordinarily, if you give a cotton, who is Ideo and Anea, if you give him a lemon instead of an ester, you're not applying him to a kinos. That's nothing. I mean, it may be a nice little thing to do, and it may have certain pedagogic value, but the father hasn't been applying him to a kinos. A kinos to a kinos, by definition, is to allow the cotton to be applying the nitzvah to the also. Just training him for the future is not a scheme of kinos at all. And the translator here is saying that this is talking, in effect, about something which will only lead and train you so that at some future time you'll be able to perform in this. And he says there's no bashkabal for that either. I mean, if you take and push it far enough and talk about a lemon of Yisri Hanoi giving it to a person, the translator might even say it's mutter because eventually the person will now learn how to be Menanea. They're teaching him how to be Menanea so that tomorrow, when he's a global, he'll know how to do it. And even though it's only kind of a hechsher and there isn't the mitzvah of the also that is now being fulfilled by the cross, it's still mutter for purposes of kinnus. I mean, I consider the arguments against the mitzvah of kinnus to be very, very strong. And I just don't see how you can take that basis and extrapolate from that. I think that the pre-Yitzchok argument is the strongest, although it's not developed directly against the cross. Yes.
Not statement, but the whole story is the father of the
Sure. Does anybody maintain that his father gives the kid a lemon and tells him it's necessary? Does Matthias need something? Absolutely not. Even if an extra sha'ul is good enough, but a lemon certainly is. Because a lemon isn't even a textus on it. Now, it's not a textus to which anybody's been a kind of mitzvah. The there the shaila is that that's imamish with all the talking meaning except the fact that he's not in the mitzvah because he's a cotton, or some of the details can be eliminated. Now, which details can be eliminated and still have a theme of single is something for some other session, not for now. And I don't want to get into the detail. But clearly, preparatory acts which lead to a kiyum hamitzvah at some future time are not ordinarily within the parameters of the mitzvah of kinnus, which is why the translator's analysis of thesis is rather difficult to say the least. Yes.
Is Hussle's extrapolation from
using the mayor that the mother made for herself. What do you need a mayor for? You're taking him with mitzvah to hear the chacham who is there is someplace. That's all the seraph mitzvah. It's still a seraph mitzvah. And I'm going to say she's all tachil in his mother. Even if she's slapping the kid by the hand, it should be hesed gomer for her. To which he answers, obviously, the difference is obvious. Walking kutzutzum to hear the drosha of the chacham is only a hesher mitzvah. The walking kutzutzum isn't a mitzvah. It's the Hechshon Mitzvah, and Tosfos is talking only about the Kiyum Mitzvah, he's not talking about the Hechshon Mitzvah. There are other things that impinge upon the same shaila. I don't want to go into details, but the classic Tshuva Samseker about giving the cotton, Tshuva the Tzveger, giving a cotton a safer to carry, the Tzveger that says it's possible to tell a cotton to carry on Shabbos, but if you give the cotton to Siddur, the Chumash, so that he will daven or learn from it or listen to Kriyas HaTorah from it, then you can look together with him. They tell a cook and do a malachi. The Torah himself is all mutter, and the problem there is the Baal Tachilun problem. What does the Jager hold with regard to all of this? He's handing the cook and the sefer, and that's no more than a hechsher. Carrying it to shul is a hechsher, it's not the kiyum. And not what the king of the Jager says, it's mutter. It may be that the Kivager was talking only about the Mitzvah Rabbonon because he was assuming that you were carrying a karmic, not Mitzvah Rabbonon. So that's beyond the sugya of mental illness. So you know, we'll leave that for some other time. But the Achrayim dealing with this and its application in the treatment of a Shreita or in the treatment of Shurik, all of those truths are relevant in terms of establishing who is Chelik on the Sam Sefer and who is not Chelik on the Sam Sefer. In any event, returning to what we are talking about, clearly the Sam Sefer is saying that there's no issue of Baal Tachilum if it is undertaken for purposes of curing mental disease, so that the person will be able to be Mekai Mitzvah. If we are now assuming that the person who is suffering from this mental illness is limited in his ability to perform mitzvahs. And Sam Sefer says, Yisra Adin, all of this is mutter, yet it should not be done because mutter shiyah shayta kol yavod, rather than be a rosh sha'idin sha'achat yisnei hamokhe. There is an interesting truth in the Igros Moshe. The Moshe in the Igros Moshe says that if you will give him the situation in which a person is a shayta gomur, and now he can, and the question is, can we commit this person to a mental institution? Does the Moshe, there's no question, you can commit him to a mental institution even if he's going to eat machos asurus there, and says Igros Moshe, some Sefer would have agreed. And the difference is that the person who is committed to the mental institution is incurable, and the Sam Sefer was limiting his caveat only to people suffering from curable illnesses. If the person is committed to a mental institution as incurable as a shayta, we don't care that he's eating macholas asurus. Shayta is a lot bar fiyuva. We don't care about his symptom halei. And as the Moshe, and should the Rebbeinu Shloim give him a refuah shleima, shaloi kederach hateva, then you can be sure that the Rebbeinu Shloim will not allow the macholas asurus to be mekamed in his way. If you don't anticipate the cure, you need not worry lest he be cured and chas v'sholom be in the kumtum. The Rebbeinu Shloim doesn't do things halfway. If a shaloi kederach hateva, he'll come out without a lay that mekumtum. Yes. Contradicts that conclusion. He says that if you are dealing with a person who needs a mental institution and there is a possibility of cure, the Sam Sefer would have permitted the commitment, even though he will be cured and will become a Mekumtum who may do a lot of Averis afterwards. He said that the Sam Sefer was concerned only in that particular case. There we're dealing with somebody who is now mitzvah in mitzvah. We're dealing with someone who isn't a shayta for purposes of halacha. And that's clear, because I left out one little point. The Sam Sefer says you can let him go to a mental institution, but you have to take him out when he becomes bar mitzvah. Now what's the point of taking a shayta out of a mental institution when he's bar mitzvah? You must be dealing with somebody who is mitzvah in mitzvah. So the otherwise concept of yeshiva doesn't make sense. There's no concept of yigim of regard to shayta. The Sam Sefer wasn't talking about a shayta. This wasn't somebody who had mental disease. And the Sam Sefer has been misunderstood by many people before this, because it's confusing the term shayta. You were dealing with somebody who was suffering not from mental illness, but mental retardation. It was a school for mentally retarded. He was one of the psoim b'yeser. You take somebody who's mentally retarded, you want to train him to be a useful member of society. There are lots of things that you can do with somebody who is mentally retarded. You have to send an institution for that. And those institutions serve Makaros Asurus. Now, can we send this person to a mental institution? Says the Sam Sefer, he's a cotton, this is Baal Tachilum, of course you can do it. When he becomes a global, then you bend him to this. You must be Makrishim from his spirit, you now have to take him out. And in addition to all of that, says the Sam Sefer, I don't advise it, because he's going to become a Metumtum, and he'll become a Bar Mitzvah, and he's a Mitzvah, he's going to do a Averis, particularly a Pesi who's Metumtum. You give a Tumtum Halei to a Pesi, you can anticipate what's going to happen. There's some place, I'm adding that to you, no, I'm putting those to the end. There's some place where I advise you not to do it. Says the shaded place where he advised you not to do it because this is a person who is already mitzvah the mitzvah. He can be Makaya mitzvah. So he'll be a mentally deficient. So what? You can't cause this person to become a mitzvah who's going to be a Rosh HaLifnei HaMokim. But if you'll give me somebody who is now not mitzvah mitzvah at all, and I'm left with a choice. Either I allow him to be a shaita kol yomov, who has no averus to be sure, but he has no mitzvah either, or I can cure him, and he'll become a student mitzvah. But once he's a student mitzvah, he becomes a baal b'tirah, he'll do averus. And in addition, he's a simtum halei, he's got simtum halei, and he may be more prone to do averus. Says the Shevet Sefer, the High Gavner, the Front Sefer, never said it's offered. If you make the calculus of mitzvahs and averus, you're given a choice. Somebody, you got a brutal pill. You can take a child before by mitzvah and you can turn him into a shaita kol yomov. He'll never become an avari. He'll never do avaris. But at the same time, he'll never do mitzvah either. Nobody would say that it's, you know, it's a good idea to turn this kid into a shaita so he won't have any avaris. Even if you're dealing with somebody who is going to be prone because of whatever reason, society, where he's being brought up, the way he's being brought up, he's going to be prone to do avaris. Nobody will tell you create a state of affairs in which you can't do mitzvah. So to say, the safer in such a situation when you're confronted with this, namely the potential for a cure that will make him a bar mitzvah, a mitzvah mitzvah that carries with it the potential for avera, under those circumstances, some person never said muti shia shreita kol yomov. He intended as a malitza to be applied in every single case. He intended it only when you're dealing with somebody who is already a mitzvah mitzvah. And now, you know, you've got somebody who's got a neurosis. Again, halacha l'maaseh. He's got a neurosis, not a psychosis. He's not even a shaita with over effort. And now you want to know, should I send him to a psychiatrist? The only psychiatrist that I have to send him to is someone who is koshud to be an atheist in Madia, and he'll counsel him to be neutral in various avails. There, some people would say, Muti Shia Shaita Kol Yomov, remain the petty, remain the neurotic, remain the person who's got some kind of strange behavior, that you're in the atheist, you'll have the seal. Rather than be restored to normalcy, but to be a Rosh HaLifnei HaMokim. There the Shaita Sefer says it applies. But now if you're dealing with a Shaita Mamish, if you're dealing with a Shaita Mamish who's potter from Kol Mitzvahs, and the only psychiatrist you have is somebody who's a Mesis in Madia, Gehagadu, it seems the Shaita Sefer would say, you're allowed to send him to the psychiatrist, he'll become a Bar Mitzvah, he'll become a Cleveland Mitzvah. He may also do Averis. Unfortunately, he may do a lot more Averis because of the particular therapeutic approach of this psychiatrist. But there's nothing we can do about it under the circumstances. I'm not sure that Rav Moshe would sanction it in the High Gavna. If you take Rav Moshe literally, you would end up with the Machzona that was presented by the person who asked the question before. But the Shaita Sefer certainly didn't understand the Sanskrit Sefer that way. The
Yes.
If I understood the question correctly, the answer is yes. You're saying if I have somebody who's doing one of these things, and I know, don't ask me how I know, but I've done some blood work on him, and I know that there's an enzyme present in the blood, and you know what this enzyme does? It makes the person be, or yes, you see the Belial or Zereshu. And you know, I know in some way I'm able to show that this is irrational. And I can attribute it to the enzyme in the blood. You know, so I've got, we've proven that it's Zereshu. I know that, I certainly know that there's no Gandharitas. Whatever else your little blood test did, it also shows that he doesn't suffer from gangrene. So you only have to do the blood test that you described. I can use the test to show that he doesn't have gangrene. But the only left is there a flu. Of course. Yes.
I don't understand why you take the
Rebbe's
Moshe Rabbeinu
Zichrono
Livracha presented of somebody who is terminal, so to speak, or curable.
That's not criminal.
It's not criminal. It's criminal.
Okay.
Hans Zucker was based on being able to cure. He
should. Right.
He's just here and he's curable, therefore there's not actually doing anything here. Right?
In which case?
In the case of the Russian
discussion. In the case of the Russian discussion, he's saying several things. First of all, community institution doesn't involve about sex people, therefore there's no reason not to community institution. Do so. And then the rest follow.
Okay. Right? I mean, on that point, that the wouldn't have to do another case.
He says some person wouldn't disagree. I think that that's unexceptional. Some person would have agreed with Ramesh in that case. The case that I gave you, there's no Baal Bakhti. B, I don't have to worry about Tinkham Halei because he's in Europe. Huh? Now, yeah. Is there a point at which...
Yes.
Yes. Yeah. To all intents and purposes, he's a shaker. He's not an irrational shaker, but he is an irrational shaker. He is mentally retarded to the point he should. He doesn't understand anything. He's more than destroying the Yeter. He's the cleanest mishtageya. Now, a pesi the Yeter can. No, he's not being irrational, he's just retarded.
Oh.
He just doesn't understand what's going on. An imbecile. Oh. No, a textbook imbecile.
How do you define it?
I don't know how to define it.
I mean, what's
the difference between a textbook, the Yeter, and these who are gagging the Yeter or whatever? They're moving boldly, totally, and completely?
No, actually.
No, no. The person that you're describing, what does he do and what doesn't he do? He sits there all day. So there's no irrational activity, but he's catatonic. Yeah, he's catatonic, a vegetable. That sounds to me as if he's clearly suffering from all this. Yeah, what are the levels above that? I cannot tell you in terms of Stanford's genetic test what the IQ level is, but you know, some place along that line, and you know, the Rambam couldn't define this for purpose of Tosfos Avos in terms of the things that people do, and I can't define it precisely for purpose of the TM and Mitzvah either. Because we're dealing with developmental stuff. The lack of mental development has left him in the state of the shape. A Tessi B'Yeter is somebody who cannot master the axioms of Euclidean geometry. That's a Tessi B'Yeter. I said the axioms, not the proposition. The axioms are elementary. He doesn't understand, that's why I'm giving the example. Rambam's example was not that he can't solve a binomial equation, but his example is he doesn't understand the principle of non-contradiction.
Hari'eh with the Pahashaytin
for purposes of Tilfus Aden. He didn't say the Sotter Nikol Mitzvah Amur is Sotter. He just said how the people, how lucky you are perfectly capable of fulfilling any and all mitzvahs. One other point that I want to make with regard to the mental institution case, and that is for reasons that I don't understand, neither of Moshe nor the Shaykh of Mitzvah talk about putting this person in a mental institution with reference to the field of Rafua. If there is a Mitzvah of Rafua, and there certainly is, I don't want to go into it right now, but even when you're dealing with a non-life-threatening illness, there's a Mitzvah, you take the Ramban, Ramban says you have to react to medical, there are framing that the Levonin says there's a Mitzvah of Hashavah, there's a Mitzvah of Hashavah to Loi, even when we're not dealing with Bikurach Nefesh, and even though there's no Bikurach Nefesh, etc., then the fact that everybody around is obligated in this mitzvah certainly has been a reason to commit into a mental institution in order to achieve a cure, and the fact that later he'll be a bardat who has Bechira and may do Averis, albeit because of Tinkham Halei, should Rukur be irrelevant. I'm not aware of the fact that possible future symptom halays may intervene in any way to stem the fever of fluid that is attendant upon other people who may be around and in a position to help this individual. There's one other point I should have made much earlier. I want to go back to that. It doesn't flow from anything I've been saying till now. But the children in the information deals with an individual who thought that he was Mashiach and also went around naked. The information reports that this was a shaila involving a Seder HaGet in the Yudan, and this is only one of the shailas that he had. And he spends less time discussing this and discussing the other. He seems to be more worried about the correct spelling of Yudan than whether this individual was competent enough to do the get. And there was a case in which Rav Moshe had no problem. He said that this person is not Meshuggah, this person is not a Shaker for purposes of Tokhus Gerushin. He thinks that he is Mashiach, and that's not even Meshuggah with Zohar Echot, that he's a Kayyim. A person who thinks that he is Mashiach is mistaken, but that's not necessarily Meshuggah. Incidentally, this was a fairly common mental aberration in Europe. It seems to have been a rather usual case of, a usual form of mental aberration. People thought they were Mashiach. And Rebecca says it's perfectly rational. Why shouldn't the person think that he's Mashiach? Maybe a fool if he thinks he's Mashiach, but that doesn't necessarily mean that he's irrational. So he's not even the Meshuggah with over effort of the Rambam and the Beit Yosef. And the fact that he's walking around naked, and the Rambam does say that that's one of the things that makes you crazy, or symptomatic of the fact that you're crazy, not just around the Mashiach if you think you're Mashiach. If you think you're Mashiach and walk around naked, it's perfectly rational. You think that you are like Odin Harish and Satan Haqqad, and that you have every right to walk around naked. There's a rational explanation for this kind.